I'm so glad that all of you are here, gathered with God's people on the Lord's Day to sing to Jesus, to hear a message from God's Word. So today, I hope that you will open your Bible with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. We'll finish up a short 3-week series that I began a couple of weeks ago. Listen, if you showed up late and you're wondering why there are Christmas decorations everywhere, it's for our Vacation Bible School that's starting this week. We're very excited about Vacation Bible School. We always go all out for Vacation Bible School, and obviously there's a Christmas theme this year. And I really want to express appreciation to Pastor Adam and his team for all that they do to make VBS a success. They work very hard and do so much. As a matter of fact, Pastor Adam writes this the curriculum for VBS. So we appreciate all the hard work that goes into that. You know, so we kind of have a mishmash of T-shirts today. So we have our VBS T-shirts going on, and then we have our Puerto Rico mission team that just got back, and they're wearing their T-shirts. Joel Deason was up here modeling the Puerto Rico T-shirt. And then we have another team that's leaving, I believe, sometime this week to go to Romania. Probably have some people out here in their Romania T-shirts as well. We're really excited about how God uses our church in all types of different places and in all types of different times. But VBS, really important to us. Obviously, Pastor Andy baptized his two eldest daughters today in worship. And if you were paying attention to their testimony, Vacation Bible School was instrumental in them coming to know Jesus as Savior. So please pray for us this week. Many of you are going to be involved, but pray for us this week as we just seek to help kids know Jesus as Savior. Okay, for this morning, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, we're going to talk about what it means to deny our preferences. In previous weeks, we've talked about what it means to deny our rights, what it means to deny our freedoms, and denying our rights and our freedoms for the sake of God's people, for the sake of God's kingdom. Well, today we're going to talk about denying our preferences for the sake of winning people to Jesus. This sermon is heavy about missions and evangelism. I mean, after all, it makes sense that if we deny ourselves in our relationship with the Lord, and we deny ourselves and, you know, for the benefit of God's people, that it naturally leads that we're going to have to deny ourselves for a broader audience of people who don't know Jesus and who need to come to Christ. After all, that's our calling. That's Christianity. Christianity isn't just us getting together in a holy huddle. Christianity is saying and figuring out how we can spread the gospel and how we can spread the good news all across the globe. Because let me tell you what, people need to hear the word. They need to hear the gospel. They need to hear the message about Jesus. The greatest problem that exists in our world is not related to politics. It's not related to poverty. It is lostness. The greatest problem that we see globally is that there are billions of people that don't know Jesus as Savior. There are an estimated 8 billion people on planet Earth. Statisticians think that maybe there's 5 or 6 billion of them that are lost. They don't know Jesus. We have 340 million people within the continental United States, and it's estimated that approximately 290 million of them don't know Jesus as Savior. Out of the 7.3 million people in Tennessee, it's estimated that 4 million of them don't know Christ. Right now, amidst our population in Putnam County of 84,000, in a 7-mile radius of our church, there are 40,000 people that are not sitting in any pew anywhere. And they pretty much don't ever attend church and possibly don't know Christ and are headed to an eternity apart from God. So the question I'm going to pose to you this morning is, what do we need to do in order to reach them? What can we do as individual Christians and collectively as a church? What can we do to reach these 40,000 people around us and these 4 million people in our state and these 290 million people in our country and this 5 or 6 billion people in our world that don't know Christ? It must lead to us finding ways, embracing a mindset and finding methods and being disciplined enough in those methods that we become missionaries in our own culture and around the world. And so that's what we're going to talk about today, how to have a missional mindset, employ missional methods, and have missional discipline in the way that all of us become missionaries in our own town and around the world. And you are a mission. You are called to missional living. We're going to see the Apostle Paul as an example of this. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Stand with me, please, as we read verses 19 through verse 26. Here's what Paul says. Paul says, "For though I'm free from all, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win more of them. To the Jews I became as a Jew in order to win the Jews. To those under the law I became as one under the law," though he adds a caveat, "though not being myself under the law, that I might win those under the law. To those outside the law I became as one outside the law, though not being outside the law of God but under the law of Christ, that I might win those outside the law. To the weak I became weak, that I might win the weak." Look what he says here. "I have become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I might share with them in its blessings. Do you not know that in a race runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified." Let's pray together. God, open our minds to your word. God, may we forget about the messenger, and may we look at the message and see what you have to say to us today. God, I believe that you desire to speak to every heart that's gathered in this building right now. I believe you have something to say to each and every one of us. God, show yourself to us and show us, Lord, how we might give ourselves up for you and for the sake of the gospel. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Thank you. Be seated. Until we begin to look beyond ourselves, Christianity will never click. As long as we're always thinking about ourselves and our own growth and our own problems and our own comforts and our own needs and all that type of stuff, Christianity will never really click. Think about the people that you see in the Bible. I'm amazed at what I see in the Bible are not a bunch of people that are preoccupied with themselves and their own problems. And not even, this is interesting to me, they're not even preoccupied with their own personal spiritual growth. They seem to be overcome with the reality that they are called to reach people with the gospel and spread the gospel around the known world. We see people in the Bible completely preoccupied with how they exercise their spiritual gifts, how they're called to love people around them, and how they're called to minister to people. We don't see a lot of self-absorbed people just looking for their needs to be met. We see people that are living on mission for God. And certainly the Apostle Paul was one of those people. Again, his resume is known to us who've read the Bible. I mean, how he traveled around and planted churches, and most of us are never going to do that. Most of us are never going to travel from one city and one country and one culture to the next and plant churches, but we're still called to have a missional mindset. We're still called to use methods that are missional to reach people around us. And that's the first thing that we see that God's Word talks about, is that we're to have a missional mindset in the way that we live this Christian life. We're to have a missional mindset in the way that we serve God in the world. And Paul stated simply, he said, I'm free from all. We talked about what it meant to deny our freedoms a few weeks ago. He says, listen, I'm free to do what I want. I have the right to do whatever I want. And here's what I do with my right and my freedom. I make myself a servant to all. That word servant literally means slave. It's the Greek word doulos. He's saying, I am putting aside my rights, my freedoms, and my preferences to serve other people. And the other people that he's talking about, and we need to be clear about this, the other people that he's talking about are not his, not just his loved ones, people that are close to him, his family, not just his church family, people that are Christians, not just people that agree with him and people that look like him and act like him and dress like him and vote like him. He's talking about people who are unlike him, who do not embrace faith in Jesus. He's speaking about pagan people, what you and I might would call unchurched people, unchristian people. And he's saying, I am making myself a servant to them. He is posturing himself as a servant to them, not so that he can win over them, but so that he can win them to Christ. That's what he means when the Bible says win them. He means he wants to win them over to Christ. This does not come through arguing. This does not come through walking through the park with bullhorns, screaming at people that we don't like or who don't agree with us. That's not what he's talking. He's not trying to win over them. He says he's wanting to serve them so that he can win them over to Christ. I think this is difficult for us sometimes. We see people that are against Christ and believe different, act different than us, and we tend to want to argue and we, you know, get all bent out of shape. But it doesn't matter if it's in Cookville or Cambodia or whether it's in Allgood or Algeria or whether it's in Livingston or Lithuania. The Bible says that we're called to serve all types of categories of people so that we might win them to Christ. This is our posture. We can't be cynical. We can't be mad. We're called to posture ourselves to people so that we might win them. And I wonder if you find this hard. I find this difficult. I mean, could you have a servant mindset towards people who have different political views than you do, that have different spiritual views than you do, that have different moral views than you do? This is one of the more difficult things that we face as Christians, is to say, you know what? We are completely different, but how can I serve you? How can I serve you in a way that I can show you the gospel and win you over? And Paul gives several categories of people that he does this with whenever he talks about not just his mindset, his missional mindset, but his methods, his missional methods. He gives several categories of people that he wants to try and win. And he talks about Jews. He talks about people under the law. He talks about people outside the law. He talks about the weak. He gives several categories of people that some people might say, I don't really like them. Okay, so Jews and non-Jews on the complete end of the social, political, moral, religious spectrum. Same with those under the law, those not under the law, kind of talking about the same thing. We're talking about people that are completely different with each other, that are usually hostile towards one another. But he says, no, I use methods to where when I'm with these people, I use certain methods. When I'm with other people, I use different methods. He says, when I'm with those with the Jew, I kind of become like a Jew. When I'm with those who are non-Jews, kind of like them. And I know what you're thinking. We read this and we're like, well, that sounds like compromise. And you know what? That is exactly what it is. It's not a compromise of doctrine. Paul never compromised his doctrine. It's not a compromise of his moral standards. Paul never compromised his moral standards. What he did compromise was his preferences. He compromised his preferences and he changed his methods depending upon where he was, who he was ministered to, and what and whatever context he was in. Some of you are like, well, I don't like this kind of compromise. Well, guess what? You do it all the time if you're married. You know what? You're the second smart man today. There was a big amen in the first service when I said that, and I'm like, that's a man that's going to stay married right there. I mean, we do it all the time. You don't really want to eat at that restaurant, but that's what he wants or that's what she wants, and so you do it. You might not want to go to that particular place on vacation, or you might not want to buy that particular house or that particular car, or you might not want to do that with your day, but what do? You don't compromise your doctrine and your morals. But what you set aside your preferences. You say, okay, you know, I don't really want to do that. But guess what? I want to serve you because I love you, and so I'm going to set that aside. Should we do anything different with people who we want to reach with the gospel? After all, Jesus told us to love our enemies. Now, here's the thing that I find shocking and personally challenging about these verses. Paul, and what he's describing here in setting an example for us, is setting aside some of his religious preferences. Okay, now let me be clear, not his doctrine and not his moral standards, but some of his religious preferences he set aside in certain contexts in order to win people to Christ. I'll give you an example. We won't flip there and read it, but you just have to take my word for it. He said to the Jews, he became like the Jews. Do you remember what he did in Acts chapter 21 when he came to Jerusalem? He was visiting James, and he underwent an Old Testament ceremonial washing, both himself and for some people that are with him, and he even paid money in order to do it. Do you think for a second that the Apostle Paul thought that he needed to do that in order to be in a right relationship with Christ? No. He did that for the people that he was trying to minister to. Another example, he says to those under the law, I became like those under the law. We don't have time today, but we could flip to Acts chapter 16. And he wanted to minister to some people in Lystra and Iconium. But he had a young man with him named Timothy, who was a Greek who had not been circumcised. And so what did Paul do? He, very sacrificial for Paul, he had Timothy circumcised. Now, we all know what Paul thinks about circumcision. I mean, if you read Romans, if you read Ephesians, if you read all these different places, he's like, listen, circumcision is nothing. You don't have to do it to be saved. You don't have to do it to be right with God. He even says, stop requiring people to be circumcised. It's basically what he tells some of these Jews who become Christians. But yet here he is in Acts chapter 16 having someone among his missionary party circumcised. He compromised not his doctrine, but some of his religious preferences, and I would even say some of his methods in order to win certain people to Christ. Listen, if you want to call this compromise, this is exactly what missionaries do. This is exactly what international missionaries do when they go to other cultures. They set aside their personal cultural preferences. They set aside a lot of their religious preferences. They worship with people in indigenous ways rather than in ways that they're comfortable with back in their churches from America. They dress differently, they travel differently, they eat different foods, they speak a different language. They change themselves a lot from the culture that they grew up in order to contextualize the gospel in a different place with different people. This, are we called to do any less in our context to reach certain people? I mean, after all, we have to give up far less in order to reach people who are close to us. And I know what some people are thinking. Some people are thinking like, I'm not changing. Never gonna change who I am. Well, guess what? You can't be like Jesus. You can't. Jesus, did he not deny his rights and deny his freedoms and deny his preferences even whenever he left a throne in heaven and incarnated himself in flesh? Look what the Bible says in John chapter 1, verse 1, verse 14. I'll put it on the screen for you. In the beginning was the Word. This is Jesus. And the Word was with God. He was in a place of comfort. He was in an exalted state. He was around the throne. And he was God. But then guess what he did? The Word became flesh. Do you think that was his preference? I think it was his preference because he wanted to save us and because he wanted to die for us, but he made himself a servant to us, and he even did it in a different place. He dwelt among us. Do you think Jesus sat up in heaven and said, oh man, I can't wait to set aside some of the rights and the privileges of deity so that I could go and wear flesh and dwell around sinful people in that sin-infested earth that I created perfectly 6,000 or 7,000 years ago. No, I think that he's willingly set aside these things, never compromised his character. That's so important. We never do that. We never compromise character. We never compromise doctrine. But we might have to compromise preferences, and we might have to compromise methods. You will have to do this if you're going to serve the Lord. This is part of what we're called to do. It doesn't matter if you're called to witness to your neighbor or teach a life group or serve on staff at a church. And here's something that some of you might disagree with me on this. This is so important. Methods are not doctrine. I don't want you to let that sink in for a moment. They should arise from doctrine, but methods are not doctrine. Methods are tools that are chosen based upon the job site. I don't think I can give you a better example than, this is certainly one relevant to me, than the Apostle Paul. Do you know the Apostle Paul actually preached differently depending upon what city he was in and depending upon what people were there? He actually preached differently. We have 7 messages from the Apostle Paul recorded in the book of Acts. And some of them are a little longer, some of them are a little shorter. And some of those messages, man, he goes up to Jews and he takes out his little Old Testament scroll and he goes verse by verse and he quotes Isaiah and he quotes Jeremiah and he quotes the law and he quotes verse after verse after verse from the Old Testament and gives his message of proof directly from the Word of God. And then we find him in places like Mars Hill, which, by the way, that's obviously my preferred method, open the Bible, preach. Then we find him in a place like Mars Hill, and what does he do? He finds a statue to an unknown God, and he starts there, and he says, hey, this is the God that I'm going to tell you about. And he starts talking about creation, and he starts talking about characteristics and qualities and attributes of God in the way that he preaches the gospel. If he would have pulled out the Old Testament, the people at Mars Hill would have been like, what? But he even preached differently. Look at verse 22. Look at verse 22. Chapter 9, verse 22. He says, by all means. This means in any way necessary. This means what it literally says. By any method that we could possibly employ, in order to win those Jews or win those non-Jews or win those under the law or win those not under the law by any means necessary. Short of sin, listen, I feel like I need to keep saying this. We don't sin, we don't compromise our morals, we don't compromise our doctrine, we never do that. But we compromise our preferences, and we can even employ means that are uncomfortable for us. After all, if we were in a war, would a soldier say, I don't really want to fight in the desert. I don't like those old brown fatigues. I really prefer the traditional, OD green fatigues. Just put me in the, I want to fight in the jungle. I don't really want to go over there. No, that would seem ridiculous. I mean, we would use any means possible in order to win the war. If the life of our child was in danger, we would use any means possible. Y'all, the eternal destiny of 6 billion people on our planet is hanging in the balance. It's serious business. They're being stacked up like kindling for an eternal fire. And we should say that we are going to stop at nothing in order to win them. What if there was something that you could do, a preference that you could deny, a method that you could employ, a change that you could make that would lead to winning people to Jesus, but you were like, nah, I'm not doing that. That would basically mean that we love ourselves more than we love other people who need to know Christ. So there are so many examples that I could give. We see the opposite of a missional mindset and a missional methods in dying churches all the time. All the time. You can go into a dying church where there's just like 5 people left, and you can say, hey, if you would do this, that, and the other, they're like, nope, don't want to do it. I mean, it happens all the time. Y'all, it happens to me all the time. There are certain preferences that I have about ways that I like to do things. And I don't know about you, but it's hard for me to give them up. I never will forget 20 years ago or so whenever screens started coming into churches. I thought they were great. I thought they were great for the music, Pastor Andy, but not for the Bible. I think I've told y'all this before. And I was like, I ain't putting the Bible on the screen. I'm not doing it. These jokers need to bring their Bibles to worship. And if they don't bring it to worship, then they're just going to have to not be able to see the scripture. I'm not doing it. And I remember going home and having a conversation with Kelly, and she was like, dude. I was like, what? She's like, dude. I was like, okay, fine. So I started putting the verse on the screen. I think I've told y'all that before. It was hard for me. My preference is for each and every human being to bring a printed Bible to worship. That's my preference, right? But here I am putting it on the screen, and that's that. I can think of some silly examples like that. Here's another silly example that I'll give to you of how we sometimes have to make ourselves uncomfortable in order to minister to people. I remember about five years ago, I wanted to call this leadership meeting at Stephen Street, and I had all these cool things that I wanted to talk about. I was super excited. And I remember that I took him to pastor's meeting, and I never will forget, Rick Lowhorn, he said, this is going to be a boring meeting. I remember being so mad at Rick for saying that, and all the other 6 pastors, they were all the same thing. Yeah, I agree. This is going to be, I crossed my legs, and I was tapping on the table, and man, I was holding back, right? I was like, fine, y'all come up with some ideas about what you think would be good for this meeting. So they sent it to me on paper, and it was this thing, and some of you may remember this, it was this thing of me sitting behind a table like a nighttime show, and people sitting on the couch, and me interview them, and us doing all this stuff. And I remember when they sent that to me, I was like, ain't no way I'm doing that. I was like, that is not me. This is stupid. People, the church's gonna hate it, man. They're gonna fire all of us. And I thought, man, how am I gonna tell them no? How am I gonna tell them that I'm not doing it? I was like, wait a minute. My boy Lee, I know he's not gonna like this. He's gonna hate it. and I won't have to say a word. Lee will just, we'll come into that pastor's meeting when we talk about it, and he'll be like, y'all, and I'm like, yeah, this is going to work fine. And so we came in the meeting, and we started talking about it, and Lee sat over there just as quiet as could be. And so finally, I put him on the spot. I was like, Lee, I said, what do you think about this? And I never will forget this. It is seared in my conscience and will be until the day I die. He looked over at me with this expressive face, and he said, I love it. I was like, what? Have I died and gone to Mars? Are these people crazy? Well, I went along with it, thinking it was going to crash and burn, and it ended up being so much fun. It stretched me out of my comfort zone. I think it was one of the best leadership meetings that we ever had. That's a silly example in which there was low risk, all right? It illustrates the point still the same. There are bigger issues out there and bigger things that you might be called to do in order to make yourself uncomfortable, in order to give up your preferences, even your religious preferences and your methods in order to be successful in a certain context. I never will forget one time I went to South Asia and I saw a church that looked like what you would see in the South. Pews, cross, baptistry, pulpit, all of that in the middle of South Asia. And I thought, that might work great in the South and that might be what I prefer, but this is silly. And to my knowledge, that church was not successful at reaching our culture. I think you get the point. I think you can probably think of some examples. And maybe there should be some things that you're thinking like, oh man, this method, this way that I do things, I'm holding on to it too tight. I believe we need to hold on to it loosely. Or it might be something in your personal life that you would have to give up. Y'all, if I was called to go be a pastor in the north somewhere, I would need a speech coach. I would. I could not go up there and preach with a redneck country accent. I would need to change that. I wouldn't want to. I love my accent. And when I call my friends from Mississippi, I just slide right back down into it. And I'm proud of my accent. But if the Lord called me to Boston, I would have to work hard to change even my preferred manner of speech in order to win people if the Lord called me to do that. Listen, the last thing I want to say is that this requires a certain type of missional discipline and rigor. It's very athletic. I'm just gonna go over this real quick just because I don't have time. This could be a sermon on its own. But this is Paul using an illustration of a boxer or a runner, someone who's like a top athlete, and is basically saying this is the type of discipline that it takes if we're going to truly be missional, whether it be at home or whether it be far away. It takes a certain discipline, and he uses these as an example. These athletes, you know, there's recreational athletes and there's true athletes. You know, some of us do things that are athletic, but we're not really truly athletes. Paul is saying when it comes to our spiritual life, when it comes to the mission of God, we need to be top athletes. We need to win the prize. And the prize that he is talking about here is not you being blessed and getting comfortable and having everything you need and everything you want. The prize here is other people being blessed and even saved as a result of you denying yourself your rights, denying yourself your freedoms, denying yourself, humbling yourself, and denying yourself your preferences and your methods, and doing it for the sake of others and not for your own sake. Whatever God is calling you to deny, in this series we've looked at a lot of things, not just preferences like we've talked about today, but there's a lot of things that maybe the Lord's been kind of dealing with you about over the past 3 weeks. But your calling to deny yourself in order to follow Him, if you're not embracing it, if you're not denying yourself, it's not just holding you back, it's keeping others from being blessed. You're holding back your ability to bless other people whenever you put your rights and your freedoms and your preferences ahead of your discipleship and of your service to God. So in closing, I just want to ask you, where are you in this race that Paul talks about? Where are you in this journey of discipleship? Some of you might say, man, I've been serving a long time and my RPMs are up high and I'm seeing the fruit and the Lord has dealt with me on things just like this. I've had to deny my sin. I've had to deny my preferences. I've had to deny a lot, but I see the fruit. And if that's where you are, you just need to ask the Lord to sustain you. You know, you absolutely cannot sustain yourself as a disciple or as a servant of Christ on your own. You cannot sustain yourself. The Lord is your keeper, and you need to look to Him even as you see fruit in your life. You need to begin to deny the fact that you're capable and you're competent even though you're seeing fruit and success. Maybe you've been a deacon for 25 years, or you've been teaching that life group for a long time, or maybe you've been on staff, or maybe you're one of our pastors, or you've been serving in a certain way, and you're starting to see that, you're seeing that fruit, and you've been making the sacrifice. It's a lot of times it's at that point that you were the most vulnerable, and you need to ask the Lord to sustain you. Maybe that's where some of you are today. Maybe some of you, you're like, man, I was doing good, but I sustained some injuries, and now I'm kind of on the sidelines. I fell into some sin, or something happened, and your discipleship and your service to God has kind of sidelined you, and now it's time for you to get back. It's time for you to get back into the race. It's time for you to get back into serving the Lord. But I can't help but imagine that some of you, maybe you haven't even started the race. You haven't denied yourself like even one time. Like not even one time have you repented and denied yourself and followed Christ. And maybe that's where you are today. I just want to call you to a prayer of response today, like we always do at the end of every service. Just want to invite you to stand at this time. And I just want you to bow your heads. And I want you to close your eyes. I want you to think about where you are with the Lord. Think about what He's calling you to deny. And maybe it wasn't this sermon today. Maybe it was something that the Lord revealed to you in a previous sermon over the previous 3 weeks. And God's just kind of touched upon something that He wants you to set aside and sacrifice and deny. And if you don't know Christ today, just call upon His name and be saved. So you spend a few moments in prayer, and then we'll sing together.